I think, when 2021 kicked off, I think the biggest question in all of our hearts, God, what is on your plan for us? And I want to start this morning's message just with a question. Simple question, which you should have the answer for. And my question to you is this: are you blessed? Are you blessed? Do you consider yourself blessed? And why do you say so? Why do you say that you are blessed? What is the reason in your life that you say that I'm blessed? On what substance do you base your blessedness? If that is a word, then on what do you base the value of your blessedness, if I can, and when are you and when are you not? How do you measure whether you are blessed? Is it, because you are saved? Is it because, you have everything that you need? What allows you to say that I am blessed? And is your measurement correct? In other words, in 2020, that year that no one wants to speak about, were you blessed? Did you sound blessed? Did you look blessed? When people looked at you, could they see that you are blessed? Did it spill over from your words? Did it spill over in your life? Is it something that when we look at you that we can say, but yeah, we can see that you are really blessed? And on what do we base that saying? So I guess the question is, what does a blessed person look like? What does a blessed person look like? How do we identify those that are blessed around us? And I ask this question because I think it's something for us to consider. And when I look at the scripture that I'm going to read, it gives us a very good clue about what is a blessed person look like. Right? And I want to take you to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, most of you know Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a great psalm. And I just want to read the verse 1 for you right now. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And hopefully, if the media works with us, you'll get it on your screen right now. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable, that is a blessed man." That is a blessed man. He is happy, he is fortunate, he is prosperous, and he is enviable. That's the amplified version of what blessed means. All right? Is the man who does what? Now, here it starts. He says, "The man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes, nor stands submissive and interactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather." Now, if you have an Amplified Bible there, I want to just encourage you to maybe grab it quickly so that you can just follow with me. But it's quite a loaded and powerful scripture. And portion here, if you just read it in the King James or even just in the NIV or something, it sounds a lot more simpler. But I love the way that the Amplified actually just amplifies it, makes it a lot louder. So there's a few things that a blessed man does not do. The first thing is he does not walk and live in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, when I think of that walk, it's that walk that, almost when I had that thought of where the army walks, where they're walking in step, where everything is synchronized, where everything is flowing together, it's that walking in step. And what a godly person does, what a blessed person does, is he does not walk in step and live in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, we know that if we receive counsel from the ungodly, if we allow the ungodly to teach us, that we will get their viewpoint, their plan, their thoughts, and everything that comes to us. Okay? It also means that I'm in a common purpose. You know, when I'm in the army, we all have a common purpose, a common goal. As the army, we have certain function to fulfill. Now, if I walk with the ungodly, I am actually aligning myself with that purpose. It makes me think of myself, Quibus, but what is in your life that shouldn't be? What counsel am I receiving that is not coming from God, that has got another source, and which might even be ungodly? So it causes me just to evaluate. Then he says, does not stand in the path where sinners walk. Now, where sinners walk is, you know, there's sort of a rhythm, there's sort of a general road that they follow, a general, you know, thought pattern, whatever that the ungodly and the sinners walk in. And as a godly or blessed person, then I now separate myself from the walk. So just follow me. We're getting somewhere with what God is calling us to in this year. Right. So in other words, that I am not positioning myself in their path, in the path that I'm walking in. And I'm not allowing that influence to come into my life. I do not give my ears and my time to where the sinners are. All right. Then the third thing he says, or does not sit down with the scornful. You know, that's a deliberate positioning. That's a, you know, when I sit down with him, when I take my place in their company, I am deliberately positioning myself in their presence. Therefore, that friendship, that everything that is there spills over into my life. I am positioning myself. And I guess I have to once again ask myself, but Quibus, you know, where are you positioning yourself? What are you doing with your time? Where are you sitting? You know, who am I following? Who am I listening to? Who am I pursuing? Who am I allowing to counsel me, to speak into my life? Who are the voices that is speaking to me? And now with our sons, we've had this conversation so many times that, you know, through music, media, different sources in our world, there's always a preacher. There's always someone that is communicating a message. And what someone is saying, blessed is the man who does not sit with those that are not pursuing what God has in store for us. And I think for me, key for us in this year is how we evaluate that and how we position ourselves. Where do we sit down? Who do we walk with? And whose counsel do we receive in this year will determine how we're going to step out at the end of this year. You know, I don't know if you are doing the little devotionals that I send through in the mornings now, but there's a thinking and a stuff that we have, you know, a positioning of ourselves in our thoughts, even as I shared this morning. You know, what are you thinking about? Because our thoughts so many times determine what our day would look like. It determines what our mood is. But are you a blessed person? Are you truly blessed? And again, on what do you base that blessedness? So if I can continue with Psalm 1, and I want to pick this up in verse 2 now. So I want to take us back. It says, blessed is the man, who does not do those things. And then he can use blessed is the man. But his delight is and desire are in the law of the Lord. So there's a delight and a desire of the blessed man who does not walk in this other counsel of the other people, but he purposely delights in and desires the law of God, the instructions of God, the word of God, wanting to hear from the Lord, you know, wanting to be with him, receiving his instruction. Okay, and then he says, who desire in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates. And you know, when I read that, and the Amplified here again just, you know, it makes it so much like there's a habit, there's a deliberateness, I'm sitting down, I'm walking with the Word of God, I'm receiving the counsel of God, I'm deliberately positioning myself. He habitually meditates, ponders and studies by day and by night. Now that is a lot of time. That is a lot of time. But I think what the psalmist here is writing is that, you know, a blessed man sets aside the time. He is habitual in the way that he pursues God, and he is, you know, purposeful in that it is day and night that he is pursuing the Lord. And again, for me, if I look down this year, saints, and it was interesting how when we had our elders meeting last week, Saturday, how the common theme that came through from what we saw and what we thought about and what we heard God saying is that this walking with God, this pursuing, this personal relationship and passion for God is going to be key in how we end this year. You see, it's not going to be built around just what the church does or what happens in Christianity. It's not going to be built around the encounters or Bible school, but it's the key to it is actually in the way that you and I habitually structure our lives and day and night pursuing, listening, reading, studying the Word of God. That is key for this year. Verse 3 says it, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water. Now what I love here is it doesn't say, and he might be, you know, if all goes well, he should be, you know, it's not like miskien, you know, we're not sure, you know, if he's around the water, we don't know, and maybe the water, I don't know, so many factors. No, it says he shall be. He shall be a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in season, and its leaf also shall not fade or wither. And everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Now, saints, the theme, the overarching theme for us this year is fruitful. Fruitful. That is what we believe God wants to do in this congregation. He wants us to be fruitful. And the key here is that if we position ourselves through our habits, if we day and night pursue the law and the instructions of God, we will bring forth what he wants us to bring forth. We will bear the fruit. We will have leaves that do not wither. Everything that we do will prosper when we deliberately position ourselves in the presence of God Almighty. The time has come where we cannot fall around, you know, like scripture says, being like waves, being tossed to and fro between different opinions. We're going to have to deliberately establish and affirm in our hearts that God is the source of life for you and me. And we're going to pursue him and him alone. Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Is your delight in his presence? I guess that's the question that I have to ask for myself. You know, or has other things become a bit more important to me? Whatever I delight in will determine my fruit. Whatever I delight in will determine my fruit. Whatever I prioritize and spend time with is the river that I draw from. I'll say it again. Whatever I prioritize and spend time with is the river that I'm drawing from. So I guess that begs the question, next to which river am I planted? Where am I drawing my nutrients from? See, when I delight in God's instructions, I will be blessed. If that is not happening, then maybe I have started pursuing another. Maybe, you know, other things have become important to me. The reality is, if I am delighting myself in God, Let me put it this way. If I am pursuing, okay, let me put it. If when I pursued Lorette, I quickly found out that it costs me a lot of time. It was very expensive, but it was worth it. You see, when I don't invest my time, my finances, my deliberately putting into this relationship with my wife, who is now my wife at least, that relationship would have died. That relationship would have fallen apart. And it's the same here with God. If I deliberately pursue Him, if I, you know, that is the thing in my heart that I'm going to pursue Him, I will bring forth that fruit. That relationship will blossom. Saints, I don't think it is time for us to be busy with religion anymore. It is time to be busy with relationship with the King of Kings, allowing Him to just pour down so much in our lives so that we can bear the fruit that He wants to bring. I wrote down this question as I was just thinking this morning. It says, if I do not have time to delight in the Lord, then I am not falling, then am I not falling into monotonous religious habits rather than relationship? So if I do not have time, you know, we say that so flippantly sometimes. It's a busy day. I didn't have time to spend with the Lord. But, you know, you skip one, it's fine. You skip two, maybe it's still okay. But when it starts to become a pattern in your life, you know, has this thing we call Christianity not just become monotonous religious habits in my life, or is it actually still about relationship? And I think for us as the children of God, and especially in this year, me and the elders believe that God is calling us back to relationship, to the essence of sitting in His presence. See, if this question is true of my life, then is it possible that I've fallen out of love with God, that I am now pursuing another, that I am, you know, other things or other input has become important to me? What is happening in my life? And I don't think God's desire for us is just religion. It's just going through the motions. Is because, you know, church is there and I go because I have to. Church is there because Jesus is gathering His saints. He's allowing us to shape and mold one another. He's speaking to us through the relationships that is around us. The church and the mission and the mandate that He gave the church is crucial to what Jesus is doing in this world. It is about His kingdom. And if I spend time with Him, this is part of the fruit that I will bear. It's not optional extra. The gathering of the saints is something that we do. Yeah, our pastor used to say, dogs bark, ducks quack, and Christians go to church. And it's still true. That was many years ago. You see, when God is the lover of my soul, when I am firmly planted next to that river, He will be my priority. He will be the one that I think about, whose instructions I adore. It's like, you know, when I dated Lorette, I lived in Alberton in Johannesburg, and she was in Potch on university. And man, the 5 days of work was just too long. We spoke for hours at a night. That was before cell phones. We used still had to phone, and my dad would freak out because I'm on the phone with her for an hour plus, sometimes two. But I prioritized, you know, and Friday, I mean, I tell you, Friday we closed 3 o'clock, and my car was packed. I was ready. When that horn sounded, I was in my car. It became to such a point that I could leave the steering wheel of my Alfa Giulietta and it would drive to Potchefstroom on its own. And that's not true, but it was close. And if He's the lover of my soul, if He's the one that I pursue, saints, if He's going to be our soul delight, then what He wants, the mission of God in this world will become our delight. The mission of the church will become our pleasure, not our work. You see, if I do not sit with the ungodly, If I am planted firmly next to this river, then I will be that person that bears fruit in season. You wonder why things are not happening in your life? Sit next to the river. You wonder why there's no fruit? Sit next to the river. You wonder why you're tired at the moment and why things are going tough? Sit next to the river so that your leaves does not wither. Let him be the source of life. You know, James again writes it so clearly that we will face trials. And man, we are in one at the moment. Again, 2021. But let not our leaves wither, because we are sitting, we are planted, we are firmly rooted in the presence of God next to that river. If things are not prospering in your life, maybe you should set aside time to sit next to the river and receive the word of God so that you can prosper in everything that you do. Yeah, this is actually so simple. Yet we fail to do it because in our mind it doesn't make sense. It's almost like tithing. You know, I've had so many conversations over the years that when you speak to someone about tithing, they go like, excuse me, are you crazy? It doesn't make sense on my budget. And for me and Laurette, it never makes sense. The tithe never makes. It's a lot of money that I can do a lot of stuff with. But I tell you, when I give that to God, it is incredible how he provides. And it's the same. It doesn't make sense to when things are tough, to put time aside to try and spend time with God and to hear what he says and obey what he says, and then things change because I can do something about it right now because I'm Oleg. So if you are not prospering, go sit next to that river. And it's, and you know, there's something else that it says in that scripture, because God watches over him. God watches over the righteous. And I want to encourage you that God is watching over you this morning. And then there's other scriptures that I was just thinking about. In terms of fruit, you have to think about John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. In verse 2 of chapter 15, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And saints, I do believe that was a big thing or big part of this that happened in 2020. That there was a pruning. That there needs to be fruitfulness. There will be fruitfulness this year. But verse 5 of chapter 15 of John says this, and it's still the key. And I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do some things. No, it says nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And I am so aware, even as a pastor, even in my own personal walk with him, that this year, I cannot do it without him. I don't want to do it without him. And I can only prosper when he watches over me, when I am in his presence. Now, if you go look at scripture, I just wanted to flight the slide, but I'm just going to quickly read it through you. But there's so many scriptures that refers to fruit. It's Genesis 1:22, where it starts off and God says he blessed Adam and Eve and he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So from there, God was about, come on, let's just fill this place. Matthew 7:17-19 speaks about the good tree bringing forth good fruit and the bad tree bringing forth bad fruit. And Matthew 12:33 says that a tree is known by its fruit. John 12 Matthew 13:8 says, where the seeds that are sown, those that fell in the good soil is that brought forth a hundredfold. John 12:24 says, a seed falling in the ground must first die before it can bring forth. You know, we even spoke last year in the beginning of you know, that seed that needs to bring forth, that springs up, that seed of faith that springs up, become a mighty tree. Galatians 5:22, which we so often quote, the fruit of the Spirit is something that God wants to bring forth. Hebrews 13:15, the fruit of our lips in worship before Him. And Revelation speaks of the tree of life that is there, bringing forth fruit for the nations. And when I think about fruit, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is so evident. And I just want to read that to you quickly. But the fruit, in the Amplified, it says that, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience. The work which His presence within us accomplishes. And my prayer is that His presence within us will be of such that it will bring forth the fruit that He wants to bring in, that it will, that love, that joy, that peace, that all of those fruit will just be hanging off of us in great measure. Fruitfulness is what God desires for us. And then Psalm 23, I just want to read this to you quickly. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still, restful waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him. That is where your shepherd wants to lead you in this year. And then if you read from verse 4, he says, and even if I go through this valley, even if I, you know, go through all the bad things in life, I'll be fine because my shepherd's got me. He prepares a table before me, before my enemies, you know, in the presence of my enemies, He puts up a table. He's our shepherd. And He's got good stuff for us in store. I had a conversation yesterday, and I think something that I thought about is a question I would love to ask people now is, do you trust God? Do you really, utterly, and completely trust Him? Do you trust the shepherd to lead you by the rivers, the still waters, the green pastures? Or has stuff happened in your life that made you back off? And you don't trust Him anymore. I want to encourage you to go and position yourself next to the river, so that you can receive what He has in store for you, so that you can build that relationship, that you can even hear what He wants to say to you in this tough season, to speak to you and encourage you. So my question that I want to end off this today is this. What will be the appropriate offering that you and I bring before God in this year? In 2021, if I have to bring Him an offering, what do you want to bring God? What do you consider to bring Him as an offering? If He is your Lord, if He is your God, if He is your Savior, if He's the one that rescued you from sin and eternal death, what offering are we going to bring? As individuals, what offering are we going to bring as a congregation to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I want to say, I think His desire is fruitfulness, is fruit, that we will bear the fruit that He has in store, that we will be planted next to that river, that we will prosper in everything that we do, that we will draw substance and strength from Him to accomplish everything that He wants to do in us and through us in this year. It's not going to come from any other source. It can only come from Him. I think we need to settle in our hearts that we want to be firmly planted next to that streams of water. We want to be remain in the vine so that we don't try and do anything apart from Him. And we want to allow the shepherd of all shepherds to lead us this year. You know, in this drought, in this sort of physical, you know, with Corona and everything, in this if I can call it a drought, if we are now in a desert, then the shepherd is the only one that knows where the feeding is. He's the only one that knows how to get there. And we need to allow him to lead us through this thing. So saints, what we believe God is saying to us for 2021 as the eldership is that we will bear fruit based on a personal, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. Bearing the fruit that he wants to bring in us and through us. That we will be planted in him next to those waters. That we will separate. That we will not sit in the council of the ungodly. That we will discern the things that are distracting us from his purpose and plan. And even the camp and everything, we're going to position in such a way that we want to teach you, we want to help you, we want to grow you to become or to be next to that river. Even the devotions that I'm sending out there is not, you know, to give you another thing to listen to, but it's to help you to sit next to that river. So I trust that you will pursue him more than anything. So may we pray and may we trust God that fruit will be the result of our lives in this year, regardless of what happens in the physical. You see, that tree is firmly planted. And I'm sure there's storms and there's winds and there's stuff that still eats it, but it's firmly planted. And it still bears its fruit. It's still, its leaves still doesn't wither, and it still prospers in everything that it does. So we're going to stand, we're going to position ourselves this year to do that. You know, this venue, may we see many people come and get planted next to the river so that they can bear fruit in Jesus' name.